Good afternoon, and this is Down to Brass Tacks. Do we have someone on the line?
Hello.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, David. This is Cheryl Newman. I'm the owner of Champer's Restaurant.
Yes.
And I just thought that, I mean, I only got a short part of the program this morning.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought that, you know, I needed to lend a voice to a lot of the discussion that perhaps has been going on. I mean, I know that my phone has been going off the hook all morning.
Yes.
With people asking what's happening. Some people from overseas asking what's happening in Barbados, and friends of mine wanting to know if, you know, all of what was said in the letter written by Chaps was cause of concern for my business.
Yes.
A little bit disturbing, because just give me one sec. Someone keeps phoning me.
Yes.
So
the critical thing here is you know that the people from Chaps, these are the ones who operate these three restaurants, including Chin Chin, Hugo's, and another establishment, a bistro in St. Lawrence Gap, and they put out this statement saying that they will be closing with immediate effect because it is just not possible to continue in the environment of the taxation, what they saw as discriminatory taxation, that those that were standalone restaurants are having a greater burden in taxes than those that are from within the hotel system. But there were other points that they raised as well. They suggested that there wasn't all that traffic. You see people on the streets and that sort of thing. You hear about the number of people, tourists coming to Barbados via the cruise ships and long stay. But for them, that's not been translated into the kind of revenue that they expected. So, yes, Cheryl Newman of Champers. You're there?
Yes, I'm here. But, you know, it's a little upsetting because I have to think I'm in the same business. And yes, a group of us formed a little, I wouldn't call it, we've been having meetings and stuff to go to the Prime Minister and the Minister of Tourism to look at the, not the taxation, but the duty-free concessions that the hotels get, because the hotels do have an advantage over us because they get duty-free on their food and on their beverage, and we don't get that. While we get duty-free on our imports, you know, if we need to bring in napkins, furniture, you know, different things like that, some of us that are eligible for the duty-free concessions, we do get that.
And that was one of the points that they made, so you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that we don't get that. But we've never gotten duty-free on food and beverage. And this all came about in the last administration when they gave Sandals all of the concessions, you know, and all of the hotels were disadvantaged. And then some of the hotels have now gotten some of the concessions, but the standalone restaurants,
never got that.
Ones like myself, we never got that. But the situation isn't to say, and which is why I find so disturbing, because we are still, you know, we are still doing well enough. We it's like saying, okay, I haven't gotten that, so I can't make money, you know. But you never had it in the first place. We would like to get some of those concessions because we would like to do a little better. But there is still enough business out there for all of us to survive. You know, Primo is my direct competition on the South Coast. They're through St. Lawrence Gap. That's one of the properties that has closed. And from what I know, you know, that restaurant is busy. I hear their numbers, and it is not that they're not busy. So I have to ask the question, what other issues were going on within those businesses that caused Mr. Stewart to wake up one day and decide that he no longer wanted to operate? It couldn't be for the lack of business. You know.
So you don't subscribe to this statement that they have put out here. Over the past 2 years, the owners, directors, CEO, management, and staff have worked diligently to reduce costs and increase revenue to attempt to bring the restaurants to a profitable position. During this time, the principal owner has invested millions of dollars and none of the shareholders received any money from their investment. As a result of these efforts, the cost base increased to a more reasonable level, and the restaurants were showing positive signs of recovery. However, what was not foreseen was the extent of reduction in the overall guest spend in the restaurants in the past 12 months, thereby significantly reducing revenues. These reductions were primarily as a result of factors outside of our control. In Barbados, it is very easy for the general public to be comforted by the tourism statistics that are quoted. Unfortunately, the increase in arrivals from our airport and seaports has not reflected the revenue spent in our restaurants, and our locations are heavily reliant on tourist spending. So you are saying that from your vantage point, this isn't as bad as the picture that's been painted here.
I am saying that there must have been some other factors into play that would have brought him to that point. Because you can't just wake up one morning and decide that you're going to close the businesses. He was in partnership there was a point in time when Larry Rogers ran that restaurant, Chin Chin, successfully. And I know there was a parting of ways between Larry and that company in regards to that.
So essentially,
I don't think that his closure can be based only on the taxation levels and stuff. Last year, we renovated Champers. We spent in excess of $1 million on renovations of our property to bring it to a level. I mean, there is business out there. You go to Tapas, you go to all of the restaurants on the South Coast, I can't say that everybody is doing brilliantly and they're bursting at the doors, but there is business out there. And his business would not only be reliant on tourists. We have a large local population that dine out, on a weekly basis, So his business isn't only relying on tourists. There is also the local market, that comes into play. So I think that I'm just not buying all of what he has put into that letter on Facebook, that the taxation in Barbados is so bad that he can't live. In the UK and the US, you have VAT at 22.5%. His VAT would have been at a reduced VAT rate, which was 10%. In certain restaurants, we don't pay the full 17, we pay 10%. So his VAT would have been at 10%, plus then there's the product levy at 2.5%, and then the service charge. Those would have been the taxes that he would have been paying. And now this year, with the reduced incorporation tax, his corporation tax level would have been reduced to 5%. So you know, when you sit down and you think about it, you have to ask what else was going on. What else was going on within those businesses? Because surely the reduction in corporation tax, he would have started to see benefits from that already this year.
So essentially you're saying we don't have the full story here.
No, we don't have the full story. I would honestly like to hear the full story, because It makes all of us sound like if, it sounds like if from the way that is written, that every single business restaurant in Barbados is, about to close down or on this train of this enormous tax burden that we can't do well. The 10% that you're charged, you pass on to the customer. The 2.5% levy that you're charged, you pass on to the customer. And after you make your purchases, you offset one VAT rate against the other, and only paying VAT at 10%, that's a huge advantage, So I think that we need you, David, because you're the investigative journalist. You need to perhaps get Mr. Stewart, when he comes back from the UK, to explain to Barbadians why he decided that he was going to close 3 restaurants and put 100-plus people on the breadline.
I don't know this gentleman too well. I suspect this is the same Mr. Stewart who had offered to float a bond for the government of Barbados.
Yes, this
the is same
the
person?
Same as the story. The same person.
Right.
You know, the same person. So all I'm saying is, you know,
I did interview him some years ago when that Bond talk was on. But one of the most unkind cuts of all is for the people who work there. I mean, these people woke up this morning, and some of them would not have gotten that news and went to work, only to find that that locks were placed on the doors. What was so urgent about this that he could not have conveyed this message to them before he closed the place down like that? He and all the other people involved. They have they've had the most unkind cut of all.
Yeah, and it's a sad thing because the staff there, I mean, I know the chef at Primo, you know, excellent guy, and it's upsetting because it doesn't bode well for the rest of us, you know, and it puts Barbados in a bad light, and that is the part that I really don't like, the light that it has put Barbados in. Because it makes it sound like if the taxation, yes, the tax burden is hard, but all of us have to bear it, you know. But it is not so hard that you can't do well. You know, it is not so hard that you can't, you know, I mean, we've employed, we just took on two staff members last week, and we are about to hire another four. So that this is not an industry that is failing by any standard.
And it's very important for you to get that message out there because it started to destabilize the image of the industry from where
exactly.
you sit.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, don't get me wrong. We would all like to share in the sandals benefits. You know, I would love to be able to bring in a container load of goods and only pay $10.50 to clear that container. You know, who wouldn't like that? But the fact of the matter is, everybody can't, you know, we have to be realistic. You know, while we would like that, you know, the country can't live without somebody paying for something, you know. There were some other
issues, though, that you said that as a group, you all had gotten together and were thinking of going to government with those issues. What are those issues?
Well, the issues mainly are the benefits that hotel restaurants and hotels get that we don't get. And we feel that we are as an important a group. You know, people come to Barbados. Barbados is known as in the Caribbean as one of the islands with great places to eat. And we feel that we contribute a lot to the tourism sector. And we should share in some of the benefits that the hotels, the restaurants within hotels get. An example, the Fish Pot restaurant is within a hotel, and they can buy all of their food and beverage duty-free. Now, they might be able to buy a bottle of vodka for $17, but I have to pay $80 for that same bottle of vodka. And chances are, I am selling a shot of vodka a lot cheaper than they are. Sizzle restaurant is in Sugar Bay Hotel, that is a steakhouse. You know, they're open to the public. They get all their food and beverage duty-free. But I have to pay, if they want to buy a steak, they can probably buy a steak for about $10 duty-free. That same steak is going to cost me $40. And I don't have the same margin. I end up selling the steak probably for the same price that they're selling it for, but with a smaller margin. So it's things like that we're looking at. Our land tax, they get 50% rebate on the land tax. 50% discount. The hotels get 50% discount. We pay land tax at the full rate. Our land tax, our land tax is like $45,000. So it's like little things like that you were saying, well, we don't want everything, but give us a little bit. You know?
Well, you stay on the line because we've been joined here by Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance, Ryan Strong. Good morning, Mr. Strong, or good afternoon, rather. It's 12:21.
Good afternoon, David.
You must have heard or seen what has been put out by CHOPS. First of all, let's deal with their concern. And this is a concern which has now been echoed here by Cheryl Newman of CHAMPERS, that there isn't a level playing field, that ever since the period when the Democratic Labour Party gave those concessions to Sandals, it has left some people in a position where they feel that the taxing or the duty-free concessions in particular are discriminatory in favor of those restaurants that are in hotels, as opposed to those that are standalone. Your reaction, first of all, to what CHAPS has said before we get there.
David, this is Roy Morris.
Oh, it's Roy Morris. My apologies.
No, the minister is here as well, but I just wanted to make the point before he starts the answer
okay.
that we only would have joined the program a minute or two ago. So a lot of what would have been said, we would not have heard the precise details to it.
Okay, well, I'll do my best to recap when he's here.
Okay. Right, so as you're aware, estimates is still ongoing, so I've come on just to respond to some of the things that have been put out.
Yeah.
So just recall, David, that when we came to office in May of 2018, we had a series of comprehensive consultations with the social partnership. And at that time in June, the intent with respect to the tourism sector was to move the VAT from 7.5 as it was then, 8.25 as it was then, to 15 with respect to tourism services. Now, subsequent to that, you would recall as well that we introduced a number of short-term levies in terms of the room rate levy, the tax on direct tourism services of 2.5, which were meant to be temporary. But a series of consultations, certainly with the tourism sector, indicated that they wanted to have the levies remain, and we reflected on it. And so therefore, only from January of this year, which the 15% was supposed to take place, because we wanted to give them time to renegotiate all of their contractual arrangements in June of 2018. So we gave them, in a sense, a signal that in a year and a half, which would have been January 2020, that we were moving to harmonize the VAT rates. Now, obviously, what has been put out, and obviously the circumstances here for the persons affected obviously are significant, because obviously once persons lose their jobs, and obviously that impacts families and communities across Barbados, and it's a situation that certainly the government finds difficult to understand. But the reality is that the increase in taxation as it relates to VAT really only came into being from January of this year for the tourism sector. And therefore, what has been put out in a sense is a bit unfortunate in terms of painting the picture with respect to the fact that we went through a significant amount of consultation with the sector with respect to where this thing will land as it relates to taxation. Now, the reality of the situation is that with respect to And it's the concept of a level playing field is important to also recognize that with the scale of investment that is undertaken from one project to the next, the reality is it's a very complicated picture. And therefore, the expenditure with respect to the investment, you put it this way, with respect to hotels that have restaurants, the size of investment for a standalone restaurant, even though one may, on the face of it, view themselves as restaurateurs, the reality is that the concession framework, in a sense, has to be tiered. And whilst we have had some discussions with respect to the what's going to happen with respect to ensuring that persons of equivalent investment, if you like, that everybody's treated equally within that context, or equitably, let me put it that way, equitably is perhaps the better term, that we're still going through a transition phase with respect to the Barbados Economic Recovery and Transformation Program. And we have been sensitive to the representations made to us from the stakeholders in terms of how they will be impacted. And so the group, certainly that's been, have been impacted here, and I know that obviously just about I don't know, a year and a half or so ago with the significant reinvestment that they had to make when the particular property was flooded.
So in simple language, what are you telling a person like Cheryl Newman here from Champers when she says this discrimination is a bit tough?
Well, I can't necessarily say that it's discrimination. I'm saying that the size of investment that is being undertaken in the context of a hotel of 200 rooms, 150 rooms, 400 rooms, whatever it is, with a restaurant, is not in principle the same investment as a standalone restaurant. Now, we have given a commitment though that we will review the entire operation of the TDA to ensure that what is equitable makes sense for persons to be able to conduct their business.
TDA being the Tourism Development Act?
The Tourism Development, yes. And therefore, and all of the necessary concessions that...
How happy are you with that answer, Ms. Newman?
The thing about it is, David, I understand all of what the minister is saying, and in truth and in fact, I understand what we need, you know, what we need to do, and I understand what he's saying. This is something that this was going on in the last minister of finance, when we standalone restaurants spoke about getting some more of the concessions. There were lots of promises made. I am not, you know, I'm quite comfortable where I am now, and I understand that in time we will get some of the concessions. Rome wasn't built in a day, and I am quite happy to give the administration the time that they need to put things in place. I don't have, you know, I'm not in a situation where I'm saying that my business is suffering because I don't have duty-free on food and duty-free on beverage.
All right, we're about to go to the latest news, but I'm fully conscious, Minister, that you've got the estimates going on. But there's some other elements of what have been put out here by CHAPS, the people behind these three restaurants, that it is important, if possible, for us to get further response from you.
And so, David, that is the primary reason why I mm-hmm. called. Mm-hmm. I just happened to meet up on the minister on my way into this room to call you and decided to let him talk about those figures.
Okay.
But there are other issues at stake here that have absolutely nothing to do with government or government policy.
Okay. Can we come back to these then immediately after the news? I would appreciate that, because we don't have enough time to go into that right now. So thank you all very much. And if possible, we'd like to possibly get back to Ms. Cheryl Newman as well. This is Down to Brass Tacks, the Monday edition. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I believe at this stage, a lot of the focus right now is on the statement that was put out by the restaurant operator known as CHAPS, which has meant that 149 people, I'm told, have lost their jobs. And one person says here that they expected that it would have happened quite a while ago. But can you imagine, people worked up until last night and had no idea that they would be out of work today? And they believe that all that the spokesperson for the organization has done is to butter up the reason for closing. The person who claims to work there believes that, you know, there's enough that has been happening as far as they're concerned to suggest that this was likely to happen. But they've put out a statement today which says to the staff, please see the notice alongside this regarding the closure of our restaurants. You are invited to attend a meeting at our Canewood office at 4 p.m. Monday, March 2nd, 2020. If you are unable to attend this meeting, please send a message, text, or WhatsApp to the specific number that they have mentioned with your preference on communication method, that is, whether they want to be communicated with via email, phone, or post, and they will be contacted personally. Before we went to the news, we had on the line Minister of State in the Ministry of Finance, Ryan Strawn, and we had restaurant operator, owner and operator in Cheryl Newman. I think we have both of them here, and possibly I think Roy Morris might also be with us as well. Ms. Newman, one of the comments that I got from somebody else, and well, I don't think she's back there yet, but let's see who's on the line. Hello?
Hi, David.
Yes, Roy Morris?
Yes, and the minister is here with me again. Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, David. Come back.
Good. So we were saying that there are several issues, Roy, that come to the fore in this particular matter. What are some of these other issues?
I think the primary thing, David, for me would be having done a little bit of research and having spoken to the Prime Minister before I made this call to you. Clearly, as Ms. Newman pointed out, and clearly as the notice said, there are issues that are to be dealt with, that need to be dealt with. That's one thing. But the notice makes no reference to the fact that there is a dispute between the two principal owners. The notice makes gives no information on one offer being made to another to buy out and other issues that are at stake. It doesn't make any reference to the fact that these are three top-class restaurants that lost their top-class chef, and therefore people are talking about the standard of service as well as the standard of food. You know, and then you have the issue of the principal owner having text three of his closest friends about the fact that he's leaving the island and left the island last night. You have the fact that you have a director who turned up this morning for one of the restaurants that was told by the security guard they can't get in because the locks are not the same that were there last night. So it is that level of business and that level of security surrounding the whole thing. If there are other issues, you should put all of them on the table. Don't just refer to the financial issues, but refer to all of the things. And the principal issue really is a dispute between the two owners.
It is unlikely, though, that people who are running any operation would put the negatives out. They are going to give you their side of the story. And that is why it is important that other players, other people in this country, ask the relevant questions. And that, I believe Ms. Newman was first in saying, look, there's got to be more in the mortar than the pestle, because there are other people who have to fight against these same odds and are able to keep their heads above water. What more is there to this? Now you have now revealed that.
There are other restaurants that we can identify that you certainly should identify that are doing well, that you have to make a booking and stand in line to get into. So,
well, if there's a conflict between people who are actually running the business, certainly could create a degree of instability. As I said, what is most unfortunate in all of this is how the workers have been treated, because you have to know that you are about to close. All and right. In those circumstances, you need to treat the workers properly. You don't close the place and then invite the workers to a meeting. That is like putting the cart before the horse.
And I mean, what the Prime Minister said to me before I came in here, you know, if you have investors who are going to treat Barbadian workers that way, well, then perhaps the place for them to invest is not Barbados.
So from the just briefly, but from the administration, because the tone that you have taken, Roy Morris, is one that somebody here believes, they say, well, it sounds contentious, but how would you characterize that?
My tone?
Yes, your own feelings on it.
That may be a reflection of who I am, David. You know that I have to get quite animated. But no, it is not that. I think it is just a reflection of the fact that you have a statement that is out that really gives people the wrong impression. And it's almost designed to give people the wrong impression, to leave people the wrong way. And I think that's unreasonable, unfortunate.
Well, David, let me just come in here on this, because obviously, as I mentioned earlier, when someone has to take a decision to lay off staff is not an easy decision. Now, we have a clear process with respect to how these things ought to be done. So on hearing your notice that just now about being invited to a meeting after the fact, then that's really not the way that certainly the government seeks to operate. And therefore, in the country, we have rules with respect to how to deal with these matters. And it is not a good position for all of these persons and their families to be in today, with the kind of uncertainty with respect to what is taking place with respect to this business. So I came to give some representation, certainly, because my phone has, I've received this notice on so many occasions this morning, because the impression given, certainly from the notice, is that the government somehow or the other would have been a major contributor with respect to the taxation, with respect to what is taking place. But the reality of the situation is certainly far from that. But the way that the workers certainly appear to have been treated in this circumstance is not the is not in keeping with what we want to encourage in a business climate in Barbados.
Okay, well, there is also a concern raised here about the increase in all-inclusive rooms, helping to reduce the amount of times that guests eat outside of their hotels.
Well, David, you are well aware as to the number of rooms that certainly increased over the last few years with respect to that. And the reality of the circumstances is that those things were done certainly within the last 5 years. And the I think as it relates to not just the fact that there might have been an increase in all-inclusive rooms, but the offering, I think, generally speaking, and we've had quite a bit of detailed discussion in terms of what Barbados is offering to people when they come here. And to the extent that that may be an element with respect to competition, the reality of the situation is that the entire tourism product, obviously, and I know that the ministry has been looking at it in terms of what it is we're offering Barbadians, whether not just for in the context of long stay, but also in the context of cruise as well. And as we are building out, certainly for new tourism investment, the entire product offering that we invite or we offer to people obviously has to be viewed. And whether you're a restaurant or any other direct tourism service, the landscape obviously has changed. We want to bring order with respect to the way that whether it's concessions or the treatment with respect to incentives with respect to the sector are meted out, and that is done in a way that's as equitable as possible. But as I said, we have been looking at these things and managing this process through from a tax policy perspective in terms of the engagement directly with the entire tourism industry. And through those consultations, we have arrived at a place that we are monitoring with respect to the implementation of the work program.
But that brings us back to Cheryl Newman.
As a business, you still have to offer product and services that obviously will entice people, whether out of the hotel space or for others to participate in.
Ms. Newman, you had a comment?
Yeah, well, I had a comment in relation to what Chaps had said, that the average spend, the guests were actually spending less. And that was one of the factors that led them to close. And from my perspective, I mean, we do our checks on average spend every month. And I haven't seen that. We haven't seen a decrease in guest spend.
But somebody would say to you that you are more established. And because you are more established, you are likely to have less of a difficulty than new entrants to the market.
But Primo has been around. Primo, and with the name of Primo, it has only been around for a couple of years. But that same business was Pisces, which was run by Larry. So that is an established location.
But it's a different. I mean, the business model changed, though.
The business model changed slightly. You know, it became a little bit more. But it became more popular in the sense that it was now new and refreshed.
But on the other side of the coin, they're talking about three businesses and Hugo's.
Three businesses.
Hugo's has, to all intents and purposes, people looking at it would suggest to you that it seemed to be under some pressure.
Yeah, under pressure, but that's location. They're way north, you know. Perhaps when the beaches project goes in, they would have a hotel that is in walking distance, because you do need foot traffic. And, you know, there is no hotel right there operating that would give them the foot traffic that they need. So Hugo's is in an unfortunate situation because they're far north and, you know, they don't have the type of foot traffic that they need to be able to get people in.
But Chin Chin certainly not.
Chin Chin is in a prime location. So, I mean, as I said to you, David, you probably need to get Larry Rogers. You probably need to get Paul, the manager at Hugo's, and the other people involved to find out exactly
what's the real story here.
What is the real story? The taxation is not the story.
Okay.
He's using that as an excuse. That is not the story.
Well, thank you very much, Cheryl Newman.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
And Minister, I think we're joined by another minister as well. We have Marcia Cattle.
Yes.
Minister Cattle. Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What exactly can you add to this discussion here about the plight of some hotels? We're dealing specifically with what has been put out there by the people from CHAPS and why they say they have closed. That's one issue. But then there are the issues which have also been raised by someone like Cheryl Newman, the disparity in duty-free concessions to the hotels the restaurants that are in hotels versus those that are standalone. What can you add to all of this?
Well, thanks, David. I saw the correspondence as well. And, you know, the first thing I would say is that we have, for the past 21 months, been engaging the tourism and hospitality sector. As we came up with the BERT plan, as we looked at what is the balance of the burden that the sector will be able to bear. And we have had a fully open conversation with most of the operators in the sector and with the entities, the organizations that represent the sector. So we were quite surprised. And I don't mind saying that I communicated this to the operators just today, that we were surprised that we did not have the conversation about the difficulties that were being experienced, because we are talking about 150 people, Barbadians, working in these establishments. And so, of course, it is not just about the success of the business that we're concerned with, but it's also about the fact that these people got up this morning and heard this news. And quite frankly, they would know, the operators and the owners, that this is not the way that we run industrial relations and we run businesses and companies in this country. So that's the first thing, is that we've had an open conversation. The decision for the levy was a decision that was come to because when we were writing the work plan, we sat in the context of the social partnership with the sector, and we were going to look to equalize the VAT because they were enjoying a reduced rate of VAT. Mm-hmm. And they said to us, no, let us deal with the levy. We can more manage the levy. We don't want to move immediately to the increase in VAT. And we said, fine. And the same levy, that 2% that they're talking about, was a levy that was reached by the sector as a part of those conversations. So that's one. Let me come now to the issue of the absence of a level playing field between the standalone restaurants and the restaurants that operate in hotels. We have, and I don't mind saying to you, David, that even before we came to service as a government, we realized that this was an anomaly in the sector. And we've always said that we were going to do the work to make sure that we level that playing field. We had a meeting up to a few weeks ago with operators in the sector to get to the place in a revised fiscal incentives regime that would allow us to do that. So we have the Tourism Development Act, and we have other pieces of legislation that govern how we look at concessions in this and other sectors. And we said, you know what? If we are looking to improve the investment climate in this country, we need to make all this transparent. We need to make it predictable. We need to make it less discretionary. We need to stop the kind of lobbying that wastes time when businesses could just be investing their time and their energy in their businesses. We need to make this thing transparent. We took a decision. We're going to go to a harmonized fiscal incentives regime. We have sat down for months with tax experts, with partners in the private sector, with people in the hospitality and tourism sector to come up with what that looks like. And part of what that will look like, and I've spoken to this before, is that it's going to be based on foreign exchange earnings. So it doesn't matter what kind of a restaurant you have. If you can show us that you're earning a certain amount of foreign exchange, then you're eligible for these concessions. And it has been clear that that's the direction that we're going towards and that we are almost there. So for all of those reasons, and that's one of the reasons we had to sit down with them, because we don't see restaurants and hotels foreign exchange. We don't know what they're earning in foreign exchange. And so we had to sit down with them and come up with a way that everyone was happy with to be able to prove this as a basis for concession.
What is that method there for?
Well, that's the thing that we're settling now. I mean, you know, we have to come up with some kind of reporting mechanism to be able to see that. But the point is that we were in a conversation, and others will tell you, Cheryl, who was on your show just now, and others will tell you that many of the owners and operators have been in that conversation with us. And so it seems to me that there's something else at play, right? If you go anywhere along the West Coast and to other entities that are operating right now, well, some days you can't even get a reservation. You know, the sector is able to produce. It is not in the interest of government to hamstring a sector such that it cannot produce and such that it cannot employ Barbadians. And so we are satisfied that the sector has not been extraordinarily burdened with these new taxes and levies. In fact, what they have benefited from is a reduced corporation tax to be between 1% and 5.5%. So I would suggest that there may be other reasons that such a decision was taken. It is unfortunate that it was taken in the way that it was. And what we now have to be able to have a conversation about with the operators is how we can soften the blow and ease the burden to those people.
How can you?
Well, that's, David, as I speak, that's a conversation that we are currently having. Mm-hmm. Because what we first needed to understand was the reason for the decision. I mean, we got the news the same time as everybody else, as a government. And that is something that is, quite frankly, it doesn't happen. If you are so stressed as a business, if you are on the point of having to fold, if you are concerned about staff, would you not reach out in advance? And it's unfortunate that did not happen, because perhaps then we could have let them know that we are, in fact, moving towards this harmonized access, the concession of both standalone restaurants and for hotels.
But we are being told, I think Roy Morris introduced it, there's other information to suggest that an aspect of the, there's been a leadership struggle in that company. A matter relating to it is before the court, and there is a strong suggestion that even though they have put up this statement to give the impression that it is only the taxes and that sort of thing, that they have missed out, they have left out a critical element in all of this. They must tell us whether it is indeed true that there has been a power struggle and that this matter, at least one aspect of it, is before the courts. That's what they should tell us.
Well, they should definitely share the full story with the people of Barbados, because they went as far as sharing some of the story. And I would say they should share the full story. But I, to be honest with you, David, that is not my interest here. I believe that they should say exactly what is at play. But my interest here, the reason I want to find out the reasons for the business closing, is that I want to understand what will happen with the people who have been employed here, whether it is in fact a decision that cannot be reversed, but really just to hear from the company, because this today is the first opportunity. Minister of Tourism Gary Simmons is here with me, and this is the first opportunity that we are having to have the conversation. And what I wanted to be able to do was to have that conversation, to understand the real reasons for the closure, so that we can then move forward. But
now,
I wanted to be able to clarify some of these issues.
Now, you spoke earlier about the way in which we do these things. There's a process, a protocol, when you are sending home people.
Yes.
What is the consequence of not following that protocol?
Well, thankfully, I am responsible, along with the Prime Minister, for Economic Affairs and Investment and not for Labour. So, you know, I'm not at this point. I don't want to see the consequences. I will leave that to the Minister responsible for Labour and Social Partnership Relations.
Well, you say Minister Kerry Simmons is with you. He may be more willing to speak to it than you.
He may be. But I will say this. For me right now, our concern is, to be quite frank, to make sure that this information that has come out is addressed and corrected. Because while the owners of these particular establishments may have decided to pull up stakes and move on because they have that option, there are other operators in this sector who are relying on accurate information being out there in the market. And quite frankly, this information has put those in jeopardy. And my concern as minister with some responsibility for investment is to make sure that the businesses that remain in this sector, that remain committed to the employment of Barbadians, are not put now in that position of having to defend.
Well, very quickly, is it possible to hear from Minister Simmons then? He's Minister of Tourism.
He is, and I'm sure he will
call in. Is he willing to comment? Well, he will call in.
Yeah, I'm sure he will call in at some later time.
Well, if possible. But see, this is the concern that I have here. And one cannot be so, you can't dismiss this whole question of the consequences for the workers. And this is that there are other people who employ Bajans who have followed the protocols. It has been insisted that they should, and they have done so. When somebody completely flouts the rules and does it their own way, if there are no consequences for that person, it encourages other people to behave the same way.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to hear. Whether you can give the answer, or Minister Jordan, or the Prime Minister, somebody has to be able to say what will happen or can happen in circumstances where people wake up in the morning and went to work and discovered that they had no job.
I agree with you. I think from my perspective, my first reaction is to first find out whether they in fact have no job, this was something that was put out there
erroneously
to attract attention, or whether there's something that we can still pull back.
Okay.
So that's why we are having the conversation now. Beyond that, then I think your questions will become a lot more relevant and a lot more important.
All right, that's a reasonable position to take. You got to find out why first.
Yes. Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
That's the comment coming from the minister in the Ministry of Economic Affairs and Investment, Marcia Cattle. This is Down to Brass Tacks.